Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nothing's changed. The offseason additions are still there. They still took care of the line of scrimmage. Ty Nsekhe, a tackle, Adrian Waddle, Jake Fisher. The line of scrimmage is taken care of. Oh, and you got Frank Gore, future Hall of Famer T.J. Yeldon. And I love the kid, Devin Singletary, that they drafted this year. They are loaded in the backfield. What's going to stop them other than themselves and Josh Allen talking about how mature he's getting?
But he's,
you know I'm getting there.
Threw more picks than touchdowns.
So what? That was last year. We don't worry about the past. We worry about the future.
This is Michael Robinson from the NFL Network. 1 week from today, we'll be sitting at St. John Fisher bringing you the show, waiting for the 9:45 first practice of Bills training camp. We were talking a little bit about the nightcap topic last night. You can have some fun with that. If you bring one, they had a great topic last night, entertaining summertime discussion. Huh. If you bring one player back to the Bills, the Sabres, anybody from their franchise history, who would it be and why? You can let us know. And for those of you that think the no-brainer is Hasek, I said no, it wasn't. I wouldn't pick him. It'd be LaFontaine or Perreault. Anyway, go ahead. And I'm enjoying the tweets about, you know, like Butch Roll coming back and some of the really crazy names people are coming up with. So that's where we started.
The tease. Been a little while. If you stuck with it the whole way, thank you. If not, so Rory McIlroy probably embarrassed to go snowman on the first hole. That's bad. It's not the worst thing that's happened today. It's not.
Someone's pants fell down.
No.
Okay, that would be embarrassing.
I know what you're thinking. You're like, all right, it's the Open Championship. We've got the hit a bunker shot and it didn't get out of the bunker because, you know, the pot bunkers.
Do they have the pot bunkers here too?
I don't think they're as bad as some.
I love those.
They're there. Okay. I don't think they're as iconically bad as some of the other ones. But
someone has a warped sense of humor who built those.
They can be tough.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, all right, maybe that's it. Maybe somebody putts off the green. I'm trying to think of the other Open Championships.
Could you whiff a tee shot? Is that doesn't happen in the at the PGA Tour.
I wonder last time that did happen. Anyway, what did he do? He hit the wrong ball.
How do you hit the wrong ball?
David Duval hit the wrong ball. That's what's being reported. It's being mentioned a bit on Twitter. We don't have the...
How do you hit the wrong ball?
I don't know, but he played the wrong ball on the seventh hole. And... apparently, it's led to a big backup on the course because they've got to figure it out. He played the wrong ball. He gets to play in the event because he won it a while back. I forgot David Duval was still playing.
Yeah.
But
so what happens?
I don't know.
Did they? I don't even know the rules. Like, the person whose ball it is, don't they have to put it back in that spot and that person plays their next shot with the ball where it was supposed to be? And then Duval... Did you just swap, have the other guy hit Duval's ball?
No, you don't do that.
Yeah, no, I knew. So I assume you have to kind of reset, and the person gets to play their own ball, and Duval walks over to his shot, takes a penalty, right? Is there a one-stroke penalty with that?
Yeah, I'm...
Don't know the rule?
Figuring it out. Maybe the fact that it's not lighting up Twitter entirely. But a few have mentioned that on the broadcast, maybe there's confusion on the broadcast. I don't know, but... The FedEx Cup tracker, which is, you know, and a couple accounts tweeted that he hit the wrong ball.
Oops.
So if that is true, we'll find out what that means. But then that's worse than hitting a tee shot out of bounds. That's all.
Well, I mean, you would.
People are supposed to tell you which one's
yours.
Ball
is, or you might even.
It's acceptable for you or I to hit the wrong ball because, you know, whatever, two of us hitting the fairway. They tell you where to go.
I've never hit the wrong ball.
How do you know?
At the GR tournament? Because I always look at the ball.
Well, you're playing in a scramble, so it's technically
a little bit different.
It's impossible to
hit
the wrong
ball.
But
can't you? Are you not allowed to even like pick up the ball and make sure it's yours? If there's any question, I don't know golf rules.
Yes,
you hit your shot.
That.
You're not sure it's the ball. You walk up to it and you go, okay, let me see. Oh, Titleist. Yeah, that's my ball.
Yes.
So,
not only on that, but on the Pro Tour, people do that for you and tell
sure,
you,
right?
And spotters watch where it go. So,
it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, like, Twitter says he's played the wrong ball, but we'll see.
You don't, like, get disqualified or anything, right?
There would be penalties, for sure.
Hmm.
Anyway, all right. Hey, I did a thing last night. We're talking about like which Bills player, which Bills great you'd add to the team, which Sabres great you'd add to the team, the current team. You're getting destroyed in the Twitter poll, by the way, which, you know, it's fine. You can handle
That's right. I like to be different. Yeah. It's easy to say Hasek.
You are a you're a rabble rouser.
I'm a contrarian.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I hear a lot about you.
Someone needs to be in that crowd yelling out the other answers.
The question is,
can't just go along with everybody.
Which Sabre would you add to the current team? Which Bill would you add to the current team? And, you know, it was Kelly and Hasek. As soon as anyone had that thought, they might have just thought, all right, Kelly and Hasek, see ya. And I thought we were going to do that this morning, too, and then you said no to Hasek. So I put up a Twitter poll about saying no to Dom.
I'll be completely honest with you, by the way. I didn't say no to Hasek because of your point. Your point good discussion.
I know.
About where the state of goaltending has gone. I mean, back then.
I only made that point because you said no, and I totally understand what you're saying.
I guess I'm giving you credit. I didn't think that far down into it and saying, oh, you know, well, what, you know, taking a bigger look, bigger picture look. I just thought, hey, man, I need scoring. I want Gilles Perreault. I want Hall of Fame center who scores 500 goals in his career. I want that guy on this team with Eichel, and I've got depth down the middle. Bring it on, baby. And I'll find a Ryan Miller, I don't know, a Don Edwards, a Bob Sauve. Give me some of the other goalies that have played here. I'll find a goalie who I can make it work with. Anyway, so go ahead.
Would you add Dom? 82% say yes. Dom would be their answer. 18% saying someone else.
I like being in the minority. It makes me feel better. I feel more productive this way.
I just like all the conversations that kind of spring out of it.
I wonder if you did a Twitter poll, if you did the Bills version of it, Kelly or someone else, what would the percentage be at that point? 99? 95?
You would have your Josh Allen fans that would say,
but come on.
I think Josh is going to be great. I'll take Bruce.
Okay, right. Or Thurman. I'm adding Thurman to Josh Allen, and man, this kid is ready to go. I think it would be over 90%, right? It's got to be over 90%.
It's got to be.
See, I know you said Hasek was a no-brainer. I don't think it is, but I think Kelly is a no-brainer. The discussion is far more interesting if you just take Kelly out of the mix and say, okay, you know, take away the franchise quarterback. Now where you're going with the Bills. And then it's a livelier debate. There are multiple options on the table.
Steve writes in on the hockey point, any offensive player worth adding probably played before or during Gretzky's era where goalie pads were half the size and goalies stayed on their feet with those old Friday the 13th masks.
Okay, but that's not necessarily a condemnation of the sport as opposed to it is a condemnation of the Sabres who haven't really had talented offensive players.
I think what he means is, you know, Perreault.
Sure, the numbers are skewed.
Which is not a condemnation of Perreault because at the time he was one of the best.
Sure.
Question is, you know, and it's always an age-old question, how many points would he score in today's game?
Sure, well, look at LaFontaine. You know, LaFontaine played... He would have come up in the 80s, right? And he played into the 90s. So scoring was a lot easier back then. So I get it, but I'm not factoring that into the equation. I think Gilbert Perreault in any era would have been a productive player. Sliding scale of points, maybe a 120-point scorer in the 80s is now a 90-point scorer in this decade. But I think when you're talking about players like Perreault and LaFontaine, whatever era we're talking about, they would succeed and be one of the best in the sport in their era of play. So that's why I'm still sticking with one of those guys.
We've got Brian Koziel coming up 7:30 on the Open Championship. Sal's coming up at 8. Sal shot a 37 on the back nine at the Porter Cup. It's crazy.
Hey, that's pretty good because 37 divided by 9 is around 4.
Yeah. I put together a little thing last night. I was sitting around trying to think of stuff to talk about on the show.
The hot weather?
Well, there's the hot weather.
Okay.
We're 1 week from the starting training camp. One week from today, we'll be out at St. John Fisher, and
I got to come up with a plan. Go ahead.
So here's what I thought. I'm going to admit to overthinking this, but I ranked the Bills. I ranked the top 10 most important Bills. So I'm going to go through this, and you can object at your will and let me know who I left out that I shouldn't have.
Okay.
All right.
This isn't the top 10 most talented Bills. This
most
is
important.
I mean, so I'm taking into account their role, their position.
Everything.
Everything. Okay.
Yep. The top 10 most important Bills. Well, football music? Yeah, let's do it. A little top 10 most important Bills.
Are you contractually? Is it okay to play football music before camp begins?
By the way,
I just want to make sure that's
I'm going from 1 to 10, not 10 to 1, because everybody knows 1. The big reveal isn't number 1.
It's TJ Yeldon.
Well, you got it. All right.
You know, I like. Spoiler alert! It was Yeldon at 1.
All right. Number one's Josh Allen.
Okay, number two.
Any debate?
No.
Any beef?
No, everything hinges on him.
Right. Most important player.
Yep.
He was the most important player to the offense last year. He's the most important player to their offense this year.
And next year.
You know, I could listen to a case that if he got hurt and Matt Barkley played, the defense might be good enough that they could still be a competitive team.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're going to be as good as you want, Josh Allen. Number two. Trey White.
Interesting. Okay, I wouldn't have had him that high, but go ahead.
Number one corner allows them to have their number two corner kind of be whoever can jump in there.
Okay.
But Trey White is immensely important. The way they play defense, the way they cover, his durability. He does it all. He's what, their best player on defense? He's up there.
Hughes is, I think, still very productive, but he's up there, yes.
Okay. But I'm going Trey White, too.
Okay.
Any major beef?
I wouldn't have put him two.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'd put him in the top five. I would put him in a... Well, I don't want to say names. You're going to go and do your list.
Get there.
So go ahead.
Yeah. Number three. Tremaine Edmonds.
That's the guy I actually was thinking. Either him or Hughes at two.
Leader of the defense.
Could be a game wrecker in the middle of your defense.
Coming into season two.
Mm-hmm.
Tremaine Edmonds I have at number three.
Very happy.
I'm also fresh off that Brian Baldinger video breakdown.
Yeah.
Where
he was
really got
glowing
high
about
Tremaine Edmonds. Yeah.
You just want to have guys for the start with TRE in their name. Okay.
Right. Well, we end that trend here.
Okay.
Number four, Bills ranked most important 1 through 10. Allen 1, Trey White, Tremaine Edmonds. Number four, Mitch Morse.
Very good. I agree. I would have had him in my top five.
Center of the offensive line, their biggest offseason acquisition.
Plus, I think him working with Allen, helping out a young quarterback, what he could do there. But sure, he's got to be. You know, when the line began to fall apart, Wood had to retire incognito while the stuff happened with him. I think Morse is the anchor of that line. With Allen, with the redone offensive line, he plays a critical role. I think I would absolutely put him in the top five. Very good.
Number five, most important Bills. Micah Hyde.
Okay.
Their safeties do a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Their safeties have been great for 2 years. Part of the reason their defense has been really good for 2 years, they've got two really good safeties.
Right.
Hyde's been very good. I want to put Micah Hyde in the top five. He is their highest-rated defensive player with an 80 Madden ratings, 86. Yeah.
I would have put Hughes in the top five because I still think the pass rush is going to come down to him. You haven't gotten it from the other side. You add Ed Oliver, and hopefully he brings something to it. I still think Hughes is a critical component, the best pass rusher they have, and can be a big-time playmaker too. So I would have put him in the top five, but okay. By the way, three defensive guys so far?
Three.
Two offensive guys.
That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Number six, top 10 most important Bills, Deion Dawkins.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is he really a left tackle?
Yeah, I don't know. I would not have put him in there, but I think I understand where you're going with this.
Because they moved Cordy Glenn because he was good enough.
Right. This is the one guy you think outside of Morse that you might think, hey, guys, we're good at center, we're good at left tackle. See, I don't know about Dawkins now after last season.
That's what I mean, though. Yeah. That's when I say most important.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Important does mean a little.
The swing of what happens
exactly,
here is.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. Like, Allen's not a guarantee to be great.
Right.
It's really important that he's good. For the Bills' offensive line, they overhauled it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll still have a lot of people saying, I got three openings. If that were to go to four openings.
They need him to be left tackle, because if not, now you just have another big problem on your hands. Okay.
So Dawkins, six.
Yeah.
Number seven is Jerry Hughes.
Okay.
Finally put Hughes in there. You've been wanting him for a while. The only reason I undervalue defensive end in this formula, which again, is just me sitting at my dining room table thinking about stuff, is that they've had a good defense without a pass rush.
Yeah.
Do they really need great play from their defensive ends to be a good to great defense? I don't know. I hope they get a great pass rush, and I hope they get to the quarterback. But it seems like they've built a little bit to try and get to the quarterback from the middle of the defense as opposed to from the edge.
Yeah, Oliver Edmonds.
So, right, exactly.
Bringing pressure. They at least bringing pressure up the middle.
Yeah, they haven't had a ton of pressure off the edge. Mm-hmm. Hughes was really good last year but didn't get to the quarterback, and sometimes that's enough. So Hughes is seven. Number eight. Ed Oliver. This is right to the same point. When it comes to getting to the passer, Oliver is supposed to be a disruptive presence in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to shed blocks. He's going to get into the backfield. So give me Ed Oliver there at number eight.
Yep.
Most important Bill. Any major omissions yet?
I actually, before Oliver, I think I would have put Matt Milano in here. I just think because of... go ahead. I don't want to spoil...
Up next, Matt Milano.
Okay, very good.
Number nine, Matt Milano.
Yeah.
They've got a number of really nice players on their defensive in their front seven.
Sure.
You know, I've put two players from the secondary in here. Milano makes my, let's see, Edmonds, Hughes, Oliver, my fourth guy in the front seven in terms of most important bills.
I like him, yeah. I think because of his ability to do so many different things on this defense, and we've talked about, you know, how things are panning out at linebacker. Milano and Edmonds together is a really nice tandem to have in there. He can drop in coverage. He can, you know, get some pressure. He's a guy can make plays all over the field. I love your pick of Milano. I think he's absolutely in the top 10.
And number 10. This one might be a little, again, like I said, this is the overthinking top 10 most important bills. Cole Beasley. The reason I picked Beasley over Robert Foster is because in Foster and John Brown, I've got burners, right? I've got outside burners if I need them. What Beasley represents is the gonna get open over the middle. Mm-hmm. It's the part of the game that maybe Josh Allen needs to do a little bit more of. Beasley's the drive extender, right? It's third and six.
Yep.
It's third and 10. And you need a guy to find a soft spot in the zone, catch a ball, turn, fall over the sticks. We keep moving.
Beasley is the guy who you hope unlocks a different part of Josh Allen's overall game. We know he can throw the ball downfield. We know he can run.
Yep.
Can he make the third and three? Right. I think he's a great – sure, no, I have no problem with that.
The drive extender.
I honestly thought you were going to go with, like, Tyler Croft, the tight end, and say – I know.
Guys with broken feet, don't make this list
right now. I thought
you were
going to look for –
sorry,
boy,
Tyler.
If the Bills could develop a really good offensive tight end, it would make a big difference. But
– Tommy Sweeney.
Nice call. I think Beasley is the most important player in the group of receivers because of what he can bring to this team and because I think – he can be a huge safety net for Josh Allen. Huge safety net. I think he'll have the most targets.
Beasley?
Yes.
I didn't put any running back in there on purpose because I don't think any one of them is all that important.
Right.
You know, McCoy goes down. I wouldn't expect them to miss a beat.
No. They're not going to lean on one guy.
Maybe a beat. We'll see how McCoy is behind this line.
But they're not leaning on one guy over any of the other three.
They've got four guys I'd be comfortable with carrying the football. So who's the biggest miss? Who should be there that isn't? Robert Foster?
Jordan Poyer.
Jordan Poyer, okay.
But you had Hyde, so they're kind of, I don't want to say they're interchangeable, but I think both guys have been very important to the back end of the defense overall.
I almost cheated and put the number two cornerback, whoever wins that job.
No, I wouldn't. You can get,
but it's the same thing as the pass rush. They've been good without even knowing who that guy is. It can be Levi Wallace. It can be E.J. Gaines. They've had a really good run of finding the second corner to just step in and be good enough.
I think your example is last year. Look how many guys got a crack at that spot once Vontae Davis quit. And the defense was still one of the best defenses in the league, even though although Wallace ends up having, I think, seven starts when all is said and done, so almost half the season. Poyer, nobody else up front, no other offensive linemen. I was kind of half kidding about the tight end. I would put Beasley ahead of Foster or Jones or any of the other receivers. Okay. I really think he'll bring he'll bring a dynamic to this offense that they really need. And I do think he can really make Josh Allen a better quarterback.
And that's the top 10 bills. We've got to get to David Duvall. The official score is in.
By the way, you ignored special teams completely.
It's one-third of the game. I should have put three special teamers on that list. All right, so David Duvall played the wrong ball on the seventh hole. It's official. It did happen. It did happen. I don't know how the penalties all break down, but here's the score. I told you, Rory McIlroy is off the hook now.
Oh, my goodness.
Rory got an 8 on the first hole. Hold on. If you are a golfer, do me a favor. You got a cup of coffee in your hand. Start to drink right now so you can actually do a spit take.
A spit take, yeah.
That's or a cup
incredible.
Of coffee. Ready?
All
right. Start to drink. David Duvall got a 15.
A 15?
A 15.
Oh, it says here it was changed to a 13.
Yeah, I think it's 13.
Oh, it was down to a 13.
Still bad.
A 13? Because he played the wrong ball?
It's a two-stroke penalty.
Okay.
Every time that you play the wrong ball, it's a two-stroke penalty. So he had to have played it
multiple through the hole?
Times.
He played the rest of the hole with the wrong ball. It wasn't just the one shot, and he realized.
I don't know.
How do you get a 13?
It must have been.
A 13?
They changed it to a 13. They cut him a break.
Oh, my God. 13?
A 13.
Oh, that poor guy. And I felt so bad for Rory with an 8.
So he must have had his tee shot, and then he must have played the rest of the hole out with the wrong ball.
So it's a two shot every time you use the wrong ball. It's two,
yes.
13. It'd have to be, right? Because
he would have bogeyed the hole
and
nonetheless.
Then had 8 extra shots or 7 extra shots,
yeah,
6 extra shots.
He did
whatever.
It on a par 5 here, it looks like.
Okay, so if he bogeyed it 6, No, he couldn't have seven extra shots. It's got to be an even number.
Yeah, so he had 6, 12, and then the tee shot is 13.
Oh, my Lord. Do you just, like, say I'm done for the day at that? I'm just withdrawing at this point?
You could.
13?
I mean, unless somebody's watching the broadcast and they've been able to clarify it, because we can't really listen to the broadcast while we're doing this, but that's what I kind of looked up during little talk there for you guys. Ugh. I looked up PGA rules for what the penalty is, and every stroke is a two-shot penalty.
Well, I'd like to thank David Duval, because now, forever, if anybody you're ever playing with plays the wrong ball, you say, what are you, David Duval out here?
He's the new mulligan, huh?
It's a Duval. Or maybe somebody bags a 13. What'd you get on that hole? Just give me a Duval.
I always thought it was the Jaguars fan base.
13.
You just play for the enjoyment of having fun at a new course, I guess, if you're David Duval, right? You're just out for you-know-whats and giggles at this point.
He'd been playing well.
Was he?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
He's 2-under. He quadruple bogeyed the fifth.
Wow.
So he was 2-over, 3-over. He was 3-over before going +8 on that hole.
So he's 11-over for the tournament before he turned the
Duval,
back.
Ready? Birdie, birdie, par, par. Quadruple, single bogey, octuple bogey.
Is that what you call it? I was going to ask you. 8 over par, octuple? Sure. Okay.
Think so.
Makes sense.
It's a snowman bogey. It's not just a snowman. It's a snowman bogey.
I'm not laughing at him.
I'm laughing at him.
Far be it for me to make fun of a professional
golfer. I am laughing
at
him.
Wow.
That's terrible.
13. Well, I guess this is why it backed things up. You got to sit there and do the math and figure out what's the rule and how does this all work and then what happened with the... Okay, we will talk about the Open Championship with Brian Koziol when we get back. We'll see if Brian ever got a 13 on a single hole when he was golfing. Did you ever get a 13? What's the highest score you've ever had on one hole?
Well, technically, you're not. If you're tracking your handicap, you're not supposed to put it in above a certain score.
Oh, okay.
So you would, like, wash out. Oh. I played golf with my mom once. She got a 30 on a hole.
Really?
Maybe it was a 28. It was a long hole. You take a lot of swings and you count them
all. Okay. It wasn't like out of bounds, lost the ball, got into water, all this other stuff.
I'd have been about like 12 at the time, 12? Or 13.
When you were playing?
She got a 28.
I remember, I think I got an 8 on one hole.
Really killed her score. She was hoping to break 90 that day.
Well, 30 would be, that'd be a little bit of a setback.
It'd be tough.
Sure. Mm-hmm. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. Hey, do you have an ugly garage door? Would you like to replace it? We might be able to help you out. Starting next week, our ugly garage door contest is back. Thanks to the good people over at Hamburg Overhead Door. You'll have a chance to win. We're going to have 3 winners again this year. We've done this in the past. You get us a picture of your ugly garage, and hopefully we'll get you a brand new one. So stay tuned. Keep listening. Keep checking WGR550.com. We'll have details on how you can register to win. The Ugly Garage Door Contest is back, courtesy of Hamburg Overhead Door. Details coming up next week.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Update from the Open Championship. We're going to check in with Brian Koziol in a moment. The story of the day. Maybe you thought it was going to be Rory McIlroy bagging a snowman on the first hole, but David Duval has taken it. From the Open Championship's own website and feed, there is no footage of it. But David Duval hit the wrong ball. At one point, the score was totaled to be 15. He drops to a 13 over par. I'm sorry, not 13 over par. A 13
on that hole.
On that hole for playing the wrong ball. Craig writes in, had to be Duval's fault. Professional golfers mark their ball with a Sharpie with their own individual sign so they can tell their golf ball from others. How could he hit the wrong ball 3 times unless he's trying to cheat? There's no way he's trying to cheat.
No.
No way.
Right.
Buddy of mine said it had to be in the heather, and maybe it was a ball from somebody else that had been there before. Right? You find anybody else's ball and think, that's mine.
What are the odds that 2 balls are in that same spot, though?
Well, there's a lot of heather.
Oh, like an older.
Yeah.
Oh, not from today. Not from someone in his group. Just a ball that had
Who
been
knows?
Put there. Okay, gotcha.
but there's no footage of it. The mystery will live on.
I want that job. I want the job before a major to go through the entire course finding balls that were there from previous rounds and removing them.
We could ask Brian if they do that. They don't. I don't know how much they would do that.
Clean the course, so to speak.
You do a once over? I mean, it's not like diving in a pond.
Oh, yeah, no. I was kind of kidding. I didn't think that
diving in the
would.
Pond would be easy, but try to get them out of the heather.
The brush and all the rough and all that crap.
Yeah, you don't mow it.
We'll get to Cozio in a second. Open Championship is what we're talking about. It is round one in Northern Ireland for the 148th Open Championship. Webb Simpson at 5-under is the leader on course. Let's see. Brooks Koepka tees off in about a half hour. Justin Rose at 9:48, Tiger at 10:10. Yanks and Tampa rained out. Jays lost to Boston. The Mets beat Minnesota. The Bisons beat Charlotte. Those two teams play downtown tonight at 7:05. JT Confer gets a new four-year deal in Colorado. Deion Jones, linebacker, re-ups in Atlanta for 4 years and $57 million. Headlines brought to you by Lenco. Are you in the know? Go Lenco. Lenco Lumber. We're going to be in the know talking golf. That's why we're bringing in Brian Koziol on our Western Hotline, of course, who is a part of the Tee to Green show, Saturday mornings at 7 on WGR. Good morning, Mr. Koziol. So many questions to get to. How are you today?
Good morning, guys. Very good.
So do they have someone clean the course and go through finding golf balls before a major?
Do they have someone do that? That's a good question.
I would think probably not, right?
Yeah, I think probably just the normal course maintenance would occur, and if they happen to fall upon a ball, they'll pick it up. But I don't think there's a conscious search committee going out to try to find golf balls.
a little detector.
We're going to find out. I mean, I would think the most they could do, Brian, would be a once-over through the heather. You know, just walk through, and whatever you see, you pick up. But, it's tough to find any balls in there.
Yeah, it's so high. I mean, you could walk over a ball five or six times and not even know it's there. So I'm sure at some point maybe there'll be a ball out there that is from a previous round or a practice round or something like that.
Have you ever shot a 13 on a hole?
I'd like to say no. I feel like I would remember if I had a 13. So I guess my answer is no.
That's just
Howard?
Well,
have
yeah.
13?
Oh, well, that's actually what I shoot on every hole. If you're, how does he play the wrong ball?
You played it for the entire hole, or whatever, for most of the hole.
Yeah, Brian, how does that even happen?
I wonder if the fact that a lot of these guys play such similar balls. I mean, most of these guys are playing the Pro V1, the Titleist ball. That maybe he just thought it was labeled, but they do. They do a pretty good job of marking them, like with a a different sort, either a color marker or a pattern or something along those lines. So,
yeah.
I'm the fact that maybe out of the heather you think it's yours by accident. I can understand that, but going forward, I mean, these guys are so good and so detail oriented with everything. The fact that they then playing out the rest of the hole and not knowing it at some point later, I mean, that to me, you're right, it's pretty surprising.
And then there's the question, so much of this has to be answered post-round. Again, there was no footage of this because they're not watching Duval, but who reports it? Who finds out? Does Duval, once he puts it into the cup and walks to the next tee, say, uh-oh, this isn't my ball?
The other guy who's realizes, hey, he played my ball.
It's probably an extra. There's no way it would have been the other person's ball. You couldn't play the entire hole.
Oh,
that
that's
way.
True, because you would know. Okay.
So how does it even get reported or discovered?
I bet you it's got to be either his caddy noticed, maybe when he went to clean it, maybe before he putted, or Duval noticed it and called him on himself. They do tell each other what ball that they're playing to start. So maybe he was, at some point the other guys would have seen, hey, and then if you're going to change balls, I would assume you're going to let your playing partners know that you're doing that. But, if I said, to the two of you, hey, we're playing together, say, hey, I'm playing a Titleist 3, like all of a sudden, two holes later, I'm not going to be putting a Callaway ball or something like that. They're all playing the same throughout. Even if they do lose a ball, they're still going to play the exact same ball that they had. So. Yeah, it must have been that Duval or his caddy noticed it and then kind of just called him on himself.
It's a new course in the rotation, right, for the Open Championship. What should we know about this course?
Well, it's a new course in the fact that they haven't played in Ireland since 1951. So it's always either been in England or in Scotland, but in the UK now to move it over to Ireland, it's it was a push that they really wanted to do, especially with Rory McIlroy's popularity and growth in the game. I mean, he's coming from the area. That was something that I know that the Royal and Ancient Crew wanted to kind of get Ireland involved in the rotation. This course, it's not. It has been redone quite a bit since, but it actually did host an Open Championship in 1951. That was the last time it was in Ireland. But they've redone quite a bit of holes. There's a couple holes that have been totally reconstructed since that event. Obviously, no one played in that event in 1951 that's playing in this event today. But the course itself is, in some sense, traditional in the fact that you see it's coming right off the sea, so weather and wind are going to be a factor. What's not traditional, maybe from what the other rotational courses that we normally see in the Open Championship, is that there's a lot less bunkers.
Yeah.
The bunkers here, they said, are it's about 60 total on the course, and if you think about that over 18 holes, that's not too many. They said on most of the other Royal courses that this Open Championship's normally on, it's somewhere in between 150 and 250 bunkers. So those bunkers, we know in this tournament, is always a lot more. They're always a lot more penalizing. Like, you know, they use that phrase, the pot bunkers.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on the PGA Tour, these normal events, guys sometimes around the green would rather even be in a bunker because they can control the spin and, you know, they know what the lie is and that sort of thing. Where here, they actually are penalizing to go into the bunkers, but there are a lot less. So, with that being said, I'm thinking it allows guys to maybe hit driver more often because there's less bunkers out there that they have to avoid. And maybe that brings guys that have struggled in the past, like Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka and guys like that, maybe at this event, guys that hit it far, maybe they'll have a little better of a go at it because they can take advantage of their length.
Yeah, you mentioned the lack of bunkers. I was going to say, Brian, watching it so far in the early stages, you know, sometimes the British Open can look like a grind, and maybe the weather's a big part of that, but this looks like a course that would be really fun to play. It's beautiful, looks enjoyable, where sometimes the Open doesn't look that way.
I agree. And even just, you know, some fans don't like this sometimes because it looks brown on TV, you know, because they don't water it. They just let the weather do what it does. It looks beautifully green and lush, and the greens look perfect. I mean, they really, really do. I was watching this morning. I feel like a lot of longer putts are going in. I think the greens are perfect, which that helps. But the speed on these greens aren't what they are for the other majors at the Masters and at the PGA and at the U.S. Open. So I think you're right. I think it wouldn't be, if you played this, you wouldn't be standing over putts scared stiff maybe like you would at some of these other venues that the pros play. This does look like a fun course that I definitely would like to play.
I'll make the joke real quick that Phil Mickelson might be minus 15 pounds, but he's plus 5 strokes on his first day.
Well done.
Well done. That's very good. Yep.
Plus 5 for his first day.
But he's 15 pounds on
minus 15.
Brian's one of the stories that was getting a lot of play going into the tournament was because of the fact that, you know, guys haven't really played here, although I think McIlroy played on this course when he was 16, was the whole Brooks Koepka caddy, who's very familiar with the course. Is that a big edge?
I think on the greens it's a big edge, yes, because he would know and be able to help him with lies and with breaks and things like that. It was funny, Tiger actually, I don't know if you saw this story, Tiger texted Brooks Koepka, I guess, on Monday in hope to play a practice round with him the next day, and Koepka basically didn't write him back, and you know, Tiger was kind of, you know, making fun of that, the fact that he's like, yeah, I still haven't heard from him. And it kind of sounds like something Tiger would have done in his, you know, prime day.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe somebody wanted to play with him. He knew it might give them an advantage.
Yeah.
So he just ignored them.
Oh, yeah. That's privileged information. You're not going to want anybody to get a hold of it, right?
Yeah. And I'm guessing that was part of Tiger's thought of, hey, if I've got Koepka's caddy in my group during this practice round, I can maybe pick his brain a little along the way. But yeah. Obviously that practice round never happened.
So Koepka's got a chance to make history, right? No one's ever finished first or second in all four majors in the same year. What are his chances this week?
I would have to say it's good just because he takes these events so seriously. I mean, his track record over these last 2 years, I mean, he's had a chance to win almost every single major. I still can't believe like that he's, yeah, right, he's gone second, first, second. I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, other than Tiger the year that he won 3 out of the 4, I mean, if he goes and wins this and you go 2-1, 2-1, I mean, that has to go down as one of the greatest years in golf history.
Yeah.
So, because of, like I said before, I think he can hit driver more, take advantage of his length. He also likes to be an aggressive putter. He can do so on these greens that are a little slower. I definitely think he's got a chance to win. And there's decent scoring conditions out there right now. So, and I know he's teeing off soon, as you said. I give him a chance to win. I can't not pick him in an event like this.
Who's on your short list of favorites outside of Koepka?
Yeah, I like Henrik Stenson this week. He's kind of had a quieter year, but if the weather does become a more of a major factor, he hits a real low controlled ball, and I think he's been playing better as of late. So I think he's a guy. John Rahm won 2 weeks ago at the Irish Open, which was at a course not too far from here. And he's a guy that I feel like was due to maybe get his major. He's talented enough. So I would say Rahm, Stenson. You know, as far as some of the Americans go, I mean, I don't know. Jordan Spieth's kind of been up and down this year. This is an event that he likes to play in quite a bit. He's an aggressive putter. Maybe on these shorter green or on these slower greens, he could give an opportunity to do so. But I feel like the Europeans have a good contingent of players. Justin Rose obviously has a chance to play well. He's a guy, even though he didn't even have his best at the U.S. Open, I mean, he almost won it and was scrambling all over the place. So I got to think that he would be in the mix, too. Other Americans, Xander Schauffele is a guy I like a lot. I know he's a younger guy. He's been kind of up and down on his round here to start so far. I mean, McIlroy doing what he did, for as talented as he is, he's not handled pressure great in super big moments. If you remember, he was going for the Grand Slam at the Masters in 2015, ended up shooting an 80. He went toe-to-toe with Tiger in the Tour Championship 1 year, you know, winner-take-all sort of event, and he just absolutely collapsed, and Tiger beat him easily. I mean, this guy is a world-class player, there's no doubt, and when he's at his best, he's one of the best in the world. But this week, McIlroy being in kind of almost the hometown sort of aspect, he is a big reason why this event is here, and for him to come out and take a quadruple bogey on the first hole and almost shoot himself out of it right away, like, I kind of feel bad for him because, you know, him and his family and his friends, I mean, they've been talking about this event for years coming to his area.
Well, he's still four over, so he's still trying to dig out. Yeah, he's even par since. What's the plan go ahead. I'm sorry, Brian. Yeah.
No, I say just, I mean, for those of us that just play golf regularly, like, there's nothing like being amped up to play around. You know, you're excited, you're going to play some cool course, or you're on a trip, or you're playing with buddies, or you're in a tournament or something, and you're so excited, and then you take, like, a quadruple bogey on the first hole. Like, it just, you know, you can't let it go. I mean, I know these guys are as good as anybody at trying to, you know, mentally being strong, but he's got to be just so grinding right now thinking about the fact that he took an 8 on the first hole.
What is your plan for Saturday? Get a little plug-in for Tee to Green this weekend.
2 hours this week for the show. Yep. Because it's Majors Week, and we're actually driving a little. We're going to Bradford, PA, Penn Hills Club.
Okay.
I've never been there. There's a huge Western New York PGA event there next week, so we're going to go and learn a little bit about that, and obviously we'll be talking a ton about the Open Championship from 7 to 9.
Very good. Enjoy watching golf all day.
Thank you. I will.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, guys.
Brian Colzer with us on our West Her Hotline as we get the latest on the Open Championship. We'll get a break in. Sal's coming up top of the hour. If you haven't gone to our website yet today, WGR550.com, Sal's posted a couple of articles we're going to talk about at 8 o'clock. Sal was part of the media contingent a month or so ago, whenever it was, he'll tell us, that had a chance to sit down with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, cover a whole bunch of different topics, and he's posted the first couple articles this morning. We will get to those top of the hour with him, 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, I'm going to read you a text. I got to read you a text right away. Mm-hmm. So the nightcap or the late night conversation on WGR550.com, which has some good stuff up, new stuff from Sal Capaccio on conversations with both Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. The overnight conversation was, which all-time great Bill or all-time great Sabre would you add to the current roster? And, you know, yada, yada, yada. We've gotten into Perreault and Hasek and Jim Kelly and Andre and all that stuff. Right? There's a text to WGR. This comes in from Dan. I'm going to read this text.
Okay.
I'm not going to say anything about it because I didn't see this player play.
Oh, okay.
So I can't
comment
on it.
So it's an old guy thing.
But I am going to tweet it out for people to react to it as they see fit.
Okay.
The text says, as great as Perreault was, I felt he didn't play to the level of his talent.
He kind of made the Hall of Fame and had, what, 500-something goals and had his jersey retired, although, I mean, Rene Robert technically had his jersey retired.
He's also listed as one of the 100 greatest players of all time in NHL history. I don't know.
One of the greatest skaters in his era? I mean, I'm not exactly sure what's lacking. Okay. I mean, I didn't watch every game. I didn't grow up here, so I... He had 512 goals and 1,300-plus points. He was a plus 41, so it's not plus minus.
I guess Dan had a higher standard.
What did he not do? I guess, hey, Dan, what did he not do?
He did text us back. The text says he didn't play the level of his talent.
Okay, so Dan, what were you expecting? I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm really not.
I mean, honestly, this might be...
If he didn't play to his level, and we're talking about... the best non-goalie in the history of this franchise and a Hall of Famer, 500-plus goals, 1,300-plus points, what level was he need? Did he need to be at? I just would love to know what's missing other than a cup.
Right, when you say something like that, you indicate that you think he's actually better than
he
that.
He could have played
He should
more,
have
better,
been
right.
better
there was a,
that
right.
he didn't play as good as he could have.
I mean, I don't know. I guess 600 goals and 1,500 points? I don't know.
Okay, we've got another text about this. Apparently, we've got a few. I agree that Perreault could have been greater for his talent. In the era he played, he should have scored 550 to 600. His production tailed off a little bit towards the end of his career.
Okay. I got nothing on that. I'm just looking up his numbers. let's see. Well, he only did have two 100-point seasons. Maybe that's where the guy was going with the initial text. You know, a player of that talent at a time when it wasn't hard to score in the 70s and 80s, right? Maybe that's where they're going. He had two 100-point seasons, and you thought that would have been...
He should have had
a higher number. Should have had more.
There you go.
Okay. We stand corrected. Sal's coming up. Jerry mentioned the articles that Salas posted this morning at WGR550.com. We will talk about those with Mr. Capaccio on the way in a moment. You can always join us as well at 803-0550. Thanks. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.